Broadcasting from Alito to Alton, from Champaign to Chicago, and from Robinson to Rockford, this is the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com.
Hello, hello. Welcome to December. We are the Illini Guys, and this is the Sports Spectacular. Larry Smith, Brad Sturdy, Mike Kegley, Patrick Quinn working audio for us. Listen, we're getting to the good stuff here in the basketball season. We'll talk all about that in just a moment. Not so good stuff for football. Fellas, we're going to really get into the season a bit later on, but tough when you think about this football team had its opportunities, even as of 2 weeks ago, going into the Iowa game. You had the opportunity to possibly get that divisional win, that divisional title in the West before it goes away, and it doesn't happen. I know a lot of soul searching this past week at the Smith Center.
No question. I mean, you had an opportunity to win both those games, the game at Iowa and the game at home against Northwestern. You had the lead, and you just, you know, you snatch victory from, or snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, as it says. But I think the one thing, like, I always look at the one, there was like a, what was it, about a minute span there where, and then Iowa scored twice in 14 seconds on Illinois, scores, take the lead. They get a three and out, and then they muff the punt, give up a touchdown on the first play. And then on the kickoff, they fumble it and they run it in for a touchdown. If that's not Illinois football in a nutshell in the past, like 30 years of watching, I mean, heart wrenching, because you take the lead and then the next thing you know, you're down 11 points. Ugh.
Yeah, I think the most disturbing thing to me is the fact that you have the repetition of the same mistakes over. And the example that I will give you is Illinois, I believe they led the Big Ten, at least at one point in time they were. But they gave up, due to penalties, 33 first downs to opponents over the course of the season.
Wow.
That is the same behavior done over and over again. And as a coach, two things happen: what you coach your teams to do and what you allow them to do. And at some point, when you have that repetition, you have to figure out how you approach this differently to change the behavior of the team. And that's what was frustrating, because this team had potential. And it wasn't realized because of mistakes being replicated time and time again.
I wrote about this on IlliniGuys.com this week, and I've talked about it before here on the show as well since we went on the air, because we have existed during the Bielema era. He was the football coach when we first began the show. If Bielema can get back-to-back eight-win seasons, they might build a statue after him, right next to Red Grange's, right there on the, you know, just past the West Colonnade of the stadium. He's learning how hard it is to win eight games in back to back. We're not talking about winning a national title. We're not talking about winning a Big Ten title. We're talking about winning 2/3 of your games in back to back seasons. And it's very difficult to do that in Champaign. It has not happened since Ron Zook was in town. Actually, that's back to back winning seasons. It's not happened since John Makovic was here, back to the 90s. We were all in or just out of college back then. I mean, it's been a long time. So it's tough. So we'll get more to that here in a bit. Like I said, we will talk more coming up, but in just a bit. We've got Matt Stevens to talk football, the Illini Guys football writer and analyst, who's done some tremendous work this week as we kind of put a bow on this Illini football season. And also coming up, we've got Marcus Damask in just a few moments, because the focus now shifts fully to basketball. The Illini women are in action. They actually start their Big Ten season next weekend when Michigan comes in as part of this long homestand for the ladies. For the Illini men, it's starting their Big Ten season Saturday at Rutgers, and it's a really crucial stretch here coming up. Brad Underwood talking about this team coming off their last win a week ago, last Friday night against Western Illinois, and this team now looking toward Big Ten season. Let's listen into a bit of what Coach Underwood had to say.
You know, it's not next Saturday at 3:00. I think that's game time. It's not when you flip the switch. You know, it's your preparation that allows you to be successful in those deals and in those games. And it's a league game. You know, it's getting everybody up to speed to know that there's a different intensity that happens in conference play. It's really hard to explain, but there's just amped up, you know, and it'll and the rack is definitely going to be amped up. But we've got to get better. We've got to get a little bit tougher. We've got, you know, our toughness has to travel. Our defense has to travel. And then we've got to dive into the scouting piece of it and find out where maybe there's a hole or two and see if we can exploit it. But we just got to keep doing the simple things. And we practice boredom, you know, doing the same things over and over so we can get really good at it. And we need our top 10 defense in the next few.
Brad, third time was a charm with recruiting Quincy. How is he lined up to what you expected? And I mean, you've liked him for a long time, and now getting to coach him, how's that lined up with what you thought?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because the people here, you know, when you recruit somebody a long time, like you do high school kids, you really get to know them, and you find out what a wonderful human being Quincy Guerrier is. I mean, rock star. And we've always said we want character and over characters, and his character as a person is infectious, and it's he's always got a smile on his face. He's a very mature beyond his own years, and then there's the ability, and you know, you're talking about a young man who I think was a top, I don't know some number, you guys all know the numbers better than me, top recruit, it's unfortunate he had the little wrist injury, because I do think at some point he's going to start making a lot of threes. And then you put that, it was always getting back to rebounding. I thought he was one of the most tenacious rebounders I saw when we recruited him, and you guys know how I like that. I think he is a world-class defender. I think you put him and Terrence, and I think those guys have the ability to lock people up. Terrence can play multiple positions, and Quincy's proven that he can do that. But for me, it's who he was as a person, and then you put that with his ability. He's super athletic, we hit a home run there.
Nick, as you get ready maybe for what could be a challenging December, what kind of foundation do you feel like you've laid with these first six games just to build off to that?
Yeah, and you know, I go back even to the two exhibitions. You know, I think we found a really nice balance of great competition, top level. I mean, obviously Kansas was one, and Marquette, and then you've found some games where you can get guys minutes and you can work on combinations and maybe not be overly stressed about the outcome, but how you get to it and find those things out.
Yeah, I think this Illinois team, they've gotten some opportunities to kind of find their way here and find their roles. I think the disappointing thing for them, despite the fact they're 5-1 and they took a really, really good top five Marquette team to the wire and had a chance to win that one late. But I think the disappointing thing is the injuries that you've already seen happen to Coleman Hawkins and Nico Moretti and trying to get them back into the fold will take some time, I think, and to kind of get the flow, and they don't have time, you know. So this is why when you go Rutgers, Florida Atlantic, and at Tennessee, woo, that's a rough 8 days.
But we'll also get an opportunity to see what they're made of. I mean, one of the things that you really don't understand as a fan is just how big these guys are. You know, Ked and I were talking to Jeff Alexander prior to the game last week, and Marcus Domask, you know, Ked and I are not small men, but when we stand next to Marcus Domask, we look like one, and he's playing the point. And I do think the other part that Brad and I have talked about is that you've got guys who are doing different things than they've done in the past. And you don't just go, hey, you know what? I'm going to be the best three-point shooter in basketball. You have to develop that skill. And so Domask is, you know, when he runs the point, he hasn't run that way before, and he's learning. And the nice thing is you get better quick. You also will have some painful growth mistakes, and Illinois has to navigate that while playing a fearsome schedule the next 10 days or so.
By the way, our own Brad Sturdy will be in the house in Piscataway, one of the toughest places to play in the Big Ten, if not the toughest, is at Rutgers. Brad, Rutgers not among the top 25, but again, this is a very dangerous program. Steve Peichel, one of the best coaches that there is, always has his teams ready. Talk about the importance of getting this win. You know, unlike before, for the past several years, we've seen kind of two Big Ten games in early December, and then you come back in January. This time there's only one. But how important is it to kind of come out and get this win, not just because it's a Big Ten game and it's important, but also, like you said, going into a week where you've got back-to-back games away from home against top 10 teams after you play Rutgers?
Yeah, I think it's huge because this is a – first of all, it's a road game in the Big Ten, and anytime you can get that win, it's huge. But I think confidence standpoint, if you beat Rutgers – and then you beat Florida Atlantic, you go into the Tennessee game essentially playing with house money, right? And we know that all three of these games are going to be difficult, you know, kind of toss-up games, and you're trying to win them all. But if you get two out of three, you feel really good. And I think the worst team they're going to play among the three is Rutgers. Now, they're also playing Rutgers on their home floor, so I'm not saying that's the easiest game. But so this is the game. So if you win this game and then you have that confidence, you get a couple days, you get ready for Florida Atlantic, and then you get ready for Tennessee, I think you feel really good about where you're at as a team. If you come out of here 7-2, regardless of which games. Now, if you lose Rutgers game, now you're thinking, I got to win at Tennessee to get 7-2. I got to beat Florida Atlantic, who just last week dismantled Virginia Tech in that game. So this is pretty good. So yeah, I think this is a game where it's really a good for the confidence, and it can really set the tone for the Big Ten, because now when you get into January, you're 1-0. You got a zero on that loss side.
And I do think what's going to set this team apart, I mean, they're starting to heat up from the three-point line, which is good. But what's really going to set this team apart and make its identity is the defense. And as players and as a coaching staff, how do they maximize your effort? Because if they play defense the way they're capable of, they could go 3-0. If they have a bad half against any of these teams, it could be very hard to beat them. So they've got to lean into what they're good at, which is defense, which takes a lot of effort, energy, and really a little bit of discipline.
Here's what I think is really important, too, about this team is that it's a much more cohesive team. And this is the stretch where you find out how strong is the glue, right? This is a team that last year went into New York, found their way in the second half and knocks off Texas, comes back, lays an egg at home against Penn State. And it just was, you know, I mean, the brakes were off the roller skates from that point and it was anything goes. I think this time with Terrence Shannon and Coleman Hawkins, you know, he's back, you know, for the stretch. And that's what we hope he continues in the stretch. You've got some veterans that it sounds like, and we'll talk to Marcus about this in a moment, that the young guys listen to the old guys, right? You've got a much older team that maybe not quite in awe, been here, done that. And I think that'll help him not only against Rutgers, but with all three games we're seeing.
Yeah, no question. I think that's the one thing. You have old guys who are willing to help the young guys and do it in a mature fashion. And you have mature guys who are there. It's almost like they're almost businesslike, I guess. Like one of the assistant coaches said that Quincy Guerrier is so businesslike, we expect him to show up for practice in a suit. So, you know, that's a good thing.
Call him Larry Guerrier.
Larry Guerrier.
There you go.
Quincy Larrier.
Right, exactly. It's a 3 p.m. Central Time, 4 o'clock Brad's time in New Jersey, the tip-off on BTN, Illinois Rutgers, and then again, Brad staying in the Gotham City for the game Tuesday night, again against FAU. Exciting times right now. We'll talk more Illini basketball in just a moment. Marcus Damask is on the way. He's here every week, presented by HX Home Solutions. We'll talk to the fifth-year player as he gets a chance to walk on to an opposing Big Ten court in a Big Ten conference game for the first time. Lots ahead, recruiting and more. It's all coming up on the Sports Spectacular.
Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about $1 a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about $1 a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as $1 a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-613-8053. 800-613-8053. 800-613-8053. That's 800-613-8053.
What's the best way to get rid of a timeshare that you don't want? Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline. We're a group of attorneys that help customers legally exit their timeshares. It's an easy process. We guarantee results or you pay nothing. Exit your timeshare today. Call now.
800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
Hey, once again, this is presented by HX Home Solutions, our Illini guys, student athletes. We appreciate HX Home Solutions and all they do for Illini student athletes. By the way, the Illini guys discount, mention Illini guys, even if you're not a member of the site, or even if you know a friend who needs some work done, home improvements, office projects, you name it, get $1,000 off just by saying those magical words, Illini guys. There you go. HX Home Solutions. Go check them out. Once again, we talked just a few moments ago about Illini basketball getting a lot of rest. So when they take the court at Rutgers, they you can't use the excuse that, gee, I was tired, even though it's an early start. Plenty of rest. Hey, he's the Illini guy. Marcus Damascus joining us right now to talk more about this matchup. His first foray into Big Ten play. Marcus, good to see you as always. Look, you guys, just one game in the past couple of weeks. Let's start with just, you know, how are you feeling going into this one?
Yeah, I feel good. I'm excited to get our first Big Ten game under our belt, you know, and hopefully try to get this win on the road. But yeah, I mean, I feel good. I'm just excited to play.
Marcus, is there something, have they told you about the Big Ten? Have Coach Underwood or any of the coaches kind of said, hey, this is a little bit different in the insanity, especially at the rack for your first road game in the Big Ten?
As far as the Big Ten, just the physicality that they've talked about a lot. But, I mean, I've heard a lot of stories about the rack and stuff being thrown at guys in the tunnel and all that. So I've heard a lot of stories. I'm excited to go see what it's like for myself.
Yeah, corn dogs, chicken nuggets, everything can come at you. So be ready.
Brad's already got his umbrella packed. You need moral support, look over and he's got your back. He'll give you the thumbs up and he's got your back if they get too nasty up there. You're coming off the nice win last Friday at home against Western Illinois. We were talking here in the break that you guys had a few days off before that as well. You seem really, the team seemed free and loose. There were no three-pointers taken in the first 6 minutes, right? I mean, a good balance, your best three-point shooting of the night as a team. Is that fair that you guys kind of went into that game just with feeling rested and loose? Did it feel different to you?
We've been, in practice, we've been trying to play a lot more just kind of off reads, not try to have everything set. We've been trying to just get our base offense down like this. That's kind of what we've been working on a lot this first month of the season, is just being able to play off of each other and kind of play free. So I think you're seeing that we're starting to get better at that. We're not having to look at the bench every time and we can just kind of play, So now that when we add the sets, like, we'll execute those, but whenever something breaks down, like, we kind of are getting that base set where we know how to just kind of play off of each other.
Yeah, you shot the ball well against Marquette. You've missed some shots that I know you expect to make, some open threes and things like that. How do you battle through kind of a what is I guess a slump. I talked to Coach Underwood. He said you should probably take more shots than anybody in practice. And like, as far as, you know, after practice and time in the gym. So how do you battle through that kind of what's a shooting slump?
I mean, it's frustrating. There's no doubt about that. You know, when you take so many shots and, you know, like your own time to have it, you only play so many games to not shoot it well, it's frustrating, but you just kind of got to remind yourself of who you are. You know, what I've done in my career, I've shown that I'm a pretty solid shooter. So just fall back on what I've done and, you know, just stay confident. You know, confidence can play a huge role in people's ability to make shots and just play well. So just play with confidence and understand that, you know, the shots are going to fall when they need to. So just try not to worry about it too much, really.
Talking with Marcus Damask, he's a wing on the Illini basketball team. Again, they're about to take on Rutgers on the road, their first road game of the season, first Big Ten game of the season. I'm curious, you guys began your preseason workouts, you know, 6-7 weeks ago now. You've had some time. Tell us one player that you want to give a pat on the back to that you think has really come the farthest from where you started on the day one of the official practice to where you are now going into the first weekend in December.
That's a good question.
I do this for a living. Thank you.
a player that always sticks out to me anytime somebody just talks about, like, you know, just making improvements and being coachable and just listening is always Amani. You know, Amani's a player that I think he listens better than anybody on the team probably. And he just soaks everything up and he's always trying to get better. Like he's always asking for feedback. So I think Amani, you know, obviously he's a freshman, a young career so far, but I just think he's going to get so much better over the years, and I'm excited to kind of see what player he eventually turns into.
Yeah, is there, as you kind of go through this, a guy like Amani who's a freshman, obviously 18 or 19 versus 22, 23, big difference. How much can you help someone like him or Draven Gibbs-Lawhorn or Nico Moretti as well, those young guys? How do you help them through maybe that freshman wall? It's because it's hard. I mean, you've been through it. It's difficult.
Yeah, it's definitely difficult. I mean, it's a whole new game once you get into college. I think you just got to just communicate with them, you know, on the sideline, during play. You know, I don't think, like, there's not really anything bad you can say. Like, if something pops in my head, like, you just voice what you see, what you feel. Because, you know, I've been, like, me, Quincy, Terrence, and other guys, like, we've been playing a lot of college basketball, Justin. So, like, we've seen a lot. So we just have to continue to voice our thoughts and opinions. And, you know, I think that'll help the younger guys.
I don't want to get too far ahead because I know right now, obviously, the focus is on Rutgers, the next game up. But you've got a really key three-game stretch here. And really quick, you guys are going to, I believe, stay in the East, go right to – you're right there at New York City, so stay in the area there for the big game Tuesday night against FAU, coming off their first-ever Final Four appearance. Back home quickly and then off to Tennessee next week down in Knoxville. You know, what's Coach talking about and what's the feeling in terms of these three games coming up, where you've got three of, you know, I mean, you know, Rutgers is a hard place to play. I mean, they're not in the top 25, but next week you've got a pair of top 10 teams that you'll be taking on outside of Champaign.
Yeah. The mindset for this kind of three game stretch is just like, we're going to figure out who we are. You know, we're going to see what guys can fight through adversity, whatever I'm trying to say, fight through. And just like, you know, we're just going to learn a lot, like who's tough enough to play on the road, who can make impact plays. And I think we're excited to see, because this is a week where as a team, we can take a huge step. So I'm looking forward to, obviously, you know, it can go two ways right now. And we got opportunity to just take a huge step for our team.
One last question I got to ask. Have you been to New York before? And what are you excited to see there? While you're there, because you guys are staying, and I am too, we're staying all the, you know, for like 5 days.
Yeah, I've never been to New York, so I'm excited to just see what it's about. I know I always see like that big Christmas tree, and it's kind of Christmas, so hopefully I think
Rockefeller Center.
Yeah, what I'm looking forward to seeing. Hopefully I see that.
Yeah,
you will.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. So
yeah, you can get there. It's really cool. You know, and definitely get a slice of Ray's Pizza down in Times Square.
So
Ray's Pizza. Yeah. And if you got to go shopping from Madison Square Garden, not a very far walk to get down to Macy's, you know, the Miracle on 34th Street. So huge. All
Bryant
right.
Bryant Park too. Check that out. All the go. Christmas shops there, baby. That's yep. good stuff.
Yep. There you go. Lots to do. I'm envious, but Brad will be there. He'll be your tour guide. You know, take him up.
If you need anything, just let me know. I can show you around.
Marcus, hey, listen, enjoy this next week. Really exciting. We'll be right there along the way with the Illini guys. And good luck against the Scarlet Knights. And we'll talk to you next time.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. Marcus Damask, once again,
thanks, Marcus.
Each week by HX Home Solutions. And we appreciate their support, not only of this program, but also the Illini student athletes. Hey, stay with us. We've got a lot more coming up. We're going to talk a little football. Yeah, 5-7, and what might have been it. Coming up next. Hi, Larry Smith here with details on a special Illini Guys deal with one of the premier home building and remodeling companies in Greater Chicago, HX Home Solutions. If you live in the Chicago area, or if you know someone who does, and your home or business is in need of attention, call HX. Tell them you're with the Illini Guys and get $1,000 off your project. They offer full residential, commercial, and industrial remodeling and new construction services, and only use the best in-class products with the top installers. Get $1,000 off with the Illini Guys discount. Why HX? They're experienced, in business since 1950. They're respected, an A rating from the Better Business Bureau, and over 100 five-star reviews on Google. They're elite. They use only top materials like James Hardy siding. I have Hardy plank on my own home. It's durable, looks good, and increased the value of my home. Marvin Windows, hail-proof Euro Shield roofing, and much more. And they finish on time. None of this stuff sitting in your driveway weeks after they were supposed to be done already. The Illini Guys discount is available to anyone listening to this message. Their number is 224-880-6000 and their website, hxhomesolutions.com. Be sure to mention the Illini Guys to get your discount. HXHomeSolutions.com.
When life isn't easy, you need healthcare that is. You need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. With OSF On-Call Urgent Care, we make it easy to get affordable, quick, convenient care for minor illnesses and injuries when and where you need it. Reserve an appointment online or walk in for care 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even on holidays. Virtual visits are also available 24/7, 365. Get started today or find a clinic near you at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
You're listening to the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com on the Illini Guys Radio Network. Now, let's get back to the studio.
All right, back here at the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. Larry Smith, Mike Hagley, Brad Sturdy. Football is over. Illini football, 5-7 is what they finished. Same as 2 years ago after just a perplexing 45-43 loss to Northwestern in a game that, you know, I think that probably next year with the Illini season tickets to enhance that, say, listen, hey, if you buy a season ticket, we'll give you a family pack, family size value pack of antacid tablets. Because this was a team that literally I still think was a better team than I think they're a better team than 5-7. And I'll always believe that. I think they were better on paper, but you can't give points away the way that they do. Brett Bielema didn't talk during the week because there's no game on Saturday. They're done. So let's listen into a bit of what he had to say. Some colorful comments in his final press conference of the season Saturday after the loss. Let's listen in.
We had, I believe, five end of halves this year that ended in touchdowns or 3 point plays. And some of those games we won, some of them we lost. Obviously today we ended up losing it, and that was, you know, 7 points right there. That or that in conjunction with, if you just do the math, right, that 7 points there, 24 points off turnovers, that's 31 of 45 points, like in a game that scored by one. It's just extremely frustrating, but one that I think we can change.
That's Brett Bielema. Let's bring in Matt Stevens. He's the IlliniGuys.com football writer and analyst. And Matt, we have all spent a lot of time talking about this and offering our own takes on the 2023 season. I'll just throw it out there right now. A tough finish to what was a tough season.
Yeah, it was a complete failure. By the own, like I wrote in my column on Saturday night, it was complete failure by the own words of the head coach. He showed up in 2021 went 5-7 and everybody wanted to pat him on the back. And he's like, look, I didn't come here to go 5-7. And then in year three, guess what? We've reached the Rubicon. You went 5-7 again. And it's a 5-7 that was completely avoidable because you played in the arguably the worst division in college football history in a power league. And you went 1-5 in that division. It's inexplicable to me that the only win they got in the division was the John Paddock miracle game at Minnesota. Otherwise they'd have gone a perfect 0-6 in the West. I can't fathom that because I am like you, Larry. I do think that there is talent on this football team, but there is, you know, to quote Isaiah Adams in his last game and the last time he probably will ever talk to us in the Smith Center, there's an extreme amount of immaturity on this roster. And I think it's got to get figured out by this coaching staff. And they're having meetings this week to kind of discuss what they want to do going forward for 2024 and get things figured out. Because I think they know how big of a offseason this is for them and how big of a spring this is leading into the 2024 season, because it's not going to get any easier. And they certainly have holes in this roster that they know that they have to fill. And they also have some mentality things that I think they've got to get figured out in the spring and get ironed out in the spring before they even get to a fall camp in 2024.
Matt, for me, I think that when I looked at this, you talk about the schedule and this bet they played. I posted on Twitter that they lost. They went 0-4 against first year head coaches in the Big Ten. And someone responded that no, they beat a first year coach in Tom Herman for Florida Atlantic. And I said, so they had five games against first year head coaches and were 1-4 in those games. And all you had to do was be 2-3 to go to a bowl game. That I think that's the thing for me. This was a schedule that should have provided 7-8 wins for this team. And I'm not saying this team's dominant or anything. Last year's team probably should have won 9 or 10 based on the schedule. This team should have won 7 or 8. So is that a concern that maybe they're underachieving?
It's a major concern, Brad, because like I said early in the year, like when we got out of September, I said, I don't have to get real creative to get to an 0-3 start. I've looked at this schedule. I don't have to get super creative to get to 1-11. Like I'm dead serious. Like if you don't have the Paddock miracle, if you don't have the Luke Altmaier to Casey Washington miracle in the opener, guess what, folks? Toledo's undefeated. And they would have walked into Memorial Stadium and won that game. So there's a lot of – look, I agree with Brett Bielema and I agree with Barry Lunney that you're probably at Illinois, and especially with where you're situated in your program, you're going to play a lot of close games and you're probably not going to go 0-for in all of those close games. I get it. And quite frankly, Illinois didn't. They went 5-3 in all those one score games. But I do think that Illinois has to figure out a way to stop making losing plays in critical moments in games that they can win. And then, oh, by the way, I think the death blow of this season was, you know, the two week stretch where they get blown out of the water at Ross-Age Stadium and at Purdue by Ryan Walters, which was just equally embarrassing as it was on the field, as it was on the sideline to watch your former employer beat you up like you did. And then you go to Nebraska again, another first year coach in the West. And look, I think everybody in the Big Ten is kind of doing that side eye view of Nebraska because they know what Matt Rhule and they know what that Nebraska thing can be here in about 2 to 3 years, that they're ready to rock with everything that they want to put behind this guy. And then you go out there and you lay an egg at home against Nebraska in a game that you probably should have won too. And so, yeah, I don't have to get real creative to get to 1-11, but on the flip side of that, Brad, you're absolutely right. I don't have to get real creative to think that Illinois should have won, you know, 7-8 or maybe even 9 games too. So there's a lot of, again, Isaiah Adams said it perfectly in as he's leaving the Smith Center. There's a lot of immaturity on this team. And when you have a lot of immaturity, they find ways to lose instead of find ways to win. And Illinois sure as heck did that a lot this year, including in the season finale when you know you needed a W.
Well, it's interesting to me because before the season, he said they could go 0-12 or they could go 12-0. I wonder at some point if you have to look at the style of ball you play, because if by definition 80 or 12 games are going to be less than one score, by definition, that means you are going to have one play by the refs that you're going to be mad about. and even one boneheaded play by your own guys that could lose you a game. And I wonder if we'll ever be in a position where the football coaches value possessions the way a basketball coach does. Because you have a possession, that doesn't mean that it's an opportunity to punt. That means it's an opportunity to score. And right now, the opportunity to punt is more valued than it is as an opportunity to score. And I'm waiting for you to tell me that that's going to change, but I don't think it will.
Let me echo my friend Tom Cakert over at Hawkeye Report. Brett Bielema's been doing this quite a while. He's been doing it philosophically the same way for quite a while. Everything he has told us publicly has said, this is the way you win football games. I find it hard to believe, Mike, that he's going to wake up one day and go, you know what? I think the way I've been doing it for 15 years is absolutely wrong. I think we should change and do it this way. There's nothing about that man that has ever suggested to me that he's going to wake up and feel that way. So get ready. I think the most frustrating thing about 2023, to flip your point, Mike, is that there are times in which Illinois, when 75,000 people in the stands knew that they were going to run the football, they could not effectively run the football. And I think that that is really, really starting to irritate him and really tick him off, because I'm telling you, the teams that win conference championships, when everybody in the stadium knows you're going to do something and then they just out execute you, that's how you win championships. And that's how Bielema has been doing it at Wisconsin. And that's how he got to three straight bowl games at Arkansas. I don't feel like he's going to change offensive philosophy. And oh, by the way, guys, I don't think he's going to change defensive philosophy and defensive personnel on the sideline either. I really wouldn't suspect a whole lot of personnel changes in the coaching staff to be made either. So I think they've got to figure this out as a group, and they've got to figure it out quickly.
Let me throw a positive at about the 2023 season, because there's a lot of negatives.
We've
done it all week long.
He did win five games.
He did, yeah. And this is even not even wins and losses. First six games, this Illini offense averages 19 points per game. In the following three games, with Altmyer at quarterback, they averaged 25 points per game. In the final three games with John Panik at quarterback, they averaged 35 points per game. So here's a team that from their first half of the season to the final quarter of the season, almost doubled their scoring output. Can Luke Altmyer in this offense and Barry Lunny Jr. in this offense, can they continue to build on the improvement of scoring somewhere in the 20s to make this a more competitive team in 2024?
Larry, I think what you just described is the idea that I think Barry Lunny got more and more comfortable with what his personnel was and what they do well, especially since he was finally getting in the middle of year two of this system. I think the players were getting comfortable with the X's and O's, getting comfortable with their coaches, getting comfortable with the scheme, and you saw direct improvement. No matter who was behind quarterback, no matter who was running the football, you saw distinct improvement. I also think throughout the year, and I just bashed him not 30 seconds ago, I think the offensive line got better as they got more cohesion, more chemistry, and they started playing in the same spot week by week by week. They started to get better. No, I think the offense was one of the furthest things down the line of problems that this Illinois team has, especially when you think about all the skill guys that could potentially come back for this team. Even if you lose an Isaiah Williams, and you're going to obviously lose a Casey Washington, but you could bring back some guys that I think that they feel really excited about. It's the defensive side of the ball that they've got to get figured out. And I think that that's interesting because they have so many guys that I think have done this for so long. The fact of the matter is, though, you had a first-year defensive coordinator that was trying to, you know, figure stuff out like every first-year coach would have done. And I think Brett Bielema knows that he's got to basically feel like Aaron Henry's got to make that jump, just like he would expect a sophomore player to make that kind of jump. If that happens, then I think Illinois can be a lot more effective in 2024. But, no, you're absolutely right. I think the offense and Barry Lunny started to get a whole different rhythm by about the time the Maryland game rolled around, and you started seeing more points on the board. You started seeing more cohesive drives, and you just started to see, like, the tempo that Barry Lunny professed and promised the minute that he got hired by Brett Bielema as his second offensive coordinator.
So, Matt, here's your chance.
Okay.
You said they have to fix it. Let's fix it. How are you going to fix it?
First of all, you've got to go. A defensive line has got to get figured out in a way that I think they're going to go JUCO with that. So you know, good luck. I think what you do is you hope, you really, really hope that, you know, you're going to have a progressive defensive line that's going to get better as the weeks go on and as the practices go on. But the guys that got burned real bad in the secondary this year who were really, really young, if you're Aaron Henry and you're Antonio Fanellis and you're Brett Bielema, you've got to figure that these younger guys are going to learn from that, get better, and essentially progress in the way that Devin Witherspoon, Jartavius Martin, and Sidney Brown did. I remember watching Sidney Brown as an underclassman get burned as a safety all the time, and then suddenly now he's playing for the Philadelphia Eagles trying to get them to a Super Bowl. So players are allowed to get – I've said this before, I'll say it again. Players are allowed to get better. In fact, they're encouraged to do so. And I think at Illinois, if that secondary can get even better in the spring and then go into a fall camp with some confidence with their second-year coordinator, Aaron Henry, then you can account for maybe a D-line that might not be able to get to the quarterback as much, and that way you can help it. Or you go into the JUCO ranks and you hit JUCO defensive linemen in the way that in your first year you hit offensive linemen. You got an Isaiah Adams and you got a Zy Chrisler, and bing, bang, boom, you got plug and play guys that might actually work in the Big Ten. So those are two possible ways you can fix it. But I think that that's what they've got to bank on.
72 years since Illinois last won its national championship, and it's going to be a while before the next one comes in. Matt Stevens, always great stuff. We shift now to basketball. We know you're working on some projects here in December. We'll talk with you soon.
Have a good one, guys.
All right. Matt Stevens, always great to have his analysis right here, football writer and analyst. And be sure to go check out IlliniGuys.com for Matt's a series of end-of-season stuff. And he'll continue to put out great content for you to get ready for this offseason. As once again, the transfer portal opens on Monday. Christmas comes early for some folks. All right, we've got more to come. Stay with us. We are the Illini Guys. This is the Sports Spectacular.
Are you tired of your friends and family members being the center of attention? Always the life of the party? Always the one who knows something no one else does? Then change the game with IlliniGuys.com. Insider info on your favorite teams, analysis on the latest games, weekly chats with coaches. You take control of the room with IlliniGuys.com. Regular updates from the experts put you courtside and in the locker room. But wait, there's more. Act now and get this free Illini Guys sweatshirt. Comfortable, stylish. Tell the world, I'm an Illini Guy and you're not. Don't delay. This is a limited time offer. Go to IlliniGuys.com. Click the Black Friday button, and you are on your way to cool guy status. Feature articles, game analysis, members-only message boards with insider info, plus the cool sweatshirt, all yours. May they never ignore you again, thanks to IlliniGuys.com. Sign up today.
Guys, y'all, Big Ten picks coming out this week. Huge, huge honor for Johnny Newton.
Yeah, well-deserved. Johnny Newton's fantastic. Most disruptive player on defense in the Big Ten. I think this was pretty easy pick based on what I saw this year in the conference. He was fantastic. He's going to be a first-round draft pick, likely in the top 15 or 20.
Yeah, and seeing Isaiah Williams be first team at wide receiver, I thought he really established himself. I don't think there's anybody in the country who can keep up with Marvin Harrison Jr., but boy, Williams really proved himself to be invaluable to an Illini offense that closed out the year significantly better than anyone would have expected the last three or four games.
Well, I think because Illinois' offense, you know, was so inconsistent for the first half of the year that you lost sight that he kept the streak going, right? And he was leading the Big Ten of receptions most of the year. So great for him. First receiver to be first team for Illinois in over a decade. And then again, the Defensive Player of the Year going to Johnny Newton, only the fourth Illini defender to ever get that award. Brownlow, Howard, and Gardner were the other ones. Great job by those guys. And so many honorable mention players for the Illini. Kind of a surprise, quarterback John Paddock, the walk-on. honorable mention after starting only three games and leading the team to an improbable win in the fourth one.
Yeah, Paddock put up some great numbers, obviously, during his limited time. And I think that was more of a, you know, kind of a attaboy kind of honorable mention, I think. But the other thing you have to look at, the quarterbacks in the Big Ten were not stellar overall, too. So that's another reason.
Yeah, it was a – and look, when you throw for over 500 yards, and you're not the starting quarterback, you know, in at least name, that is a heck of an accomplishment. And he had some amazing time there, and good for him to get noticed. And he also put up the stats for when he was on the field.
Yeah. Not bad for a walk-on. We've got more. Yeah. 30 seconds.
When life isn't easy, you need healthcare that is. You need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. With OSF On-Call Urgent Care, we make it easy to get affordable, quick, convenient care for minor illnesses and injuries when and where you need it. Reserve an appointment online or walk in for care 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even on holidays. Virtual visits are also available 24/7, 365. Get started today or find a clinic near you at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
You're listening to the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com on the Illini Guys Radio Network. Now, let's get back to the studio.
Guys, big story that we saw this week, and we all were talking about here before we started the show. Mark Cuban going to sell his shares, but retain control of the Dallas Mavericks. This is a really interesting arrangement. Usually when you sell, you get out. So he's going to pocket like $3 billion and still be in control of the team.
Really wild. He paid, $285 million for the Mavericks in 2000. So that's a pretty good return on your investment, right?
Yes.
I mean, you know, that's good. So yeah, I think this is also, it creates an opportunity for him maybe to, you know, they want to build a new arena near a casino, all these things that are going on. So it's a very interesting, setup, and I think there's a lot of intricacies that we're just finding out about in this deal.
Yeah, I think they're really looking to get legalized gambling in Texas, where you have cities like Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, that they could Austin, that they could put gambling casinos, and they think they actually think Dallas would be the number one tourist resort in the U.S. if they had legalized gambling and put a Venetian style casino with a new basketball arena and a resort type of complex, and that would be the heart of it. So they're gonna have to thread the needle, because getting that legalization of gambling through the Texas legislature will not be an easy task.
And we should mention, it's the Adelson family, I believe, that's buying it, and the report was that she sold $2 billion worth of stock in the Sands Hotel in Vegas, that whole conglomerate, to make this happen. So interesting stuff. Meanwhile, Olympics coming back to the U.S. You know, guys, look around. The Olympics, it's like they've been avoiding the U.S. like the plague. But in 2034, and the Salt Lake City once again hosts the Winter Olympics. So welcome on back to the Five Rings.
Yeah, it's cool. I think it's great when you can, you know, have it in the United States. It's always cool to attend those major world events. I mean, I'm not a big Winter Olympics guy, but, you know, it's still fun. I enjoy it. And it's funny, you can actually watch them in, like, when they're actually live, as opposed to when you watch them. Yep, the live action in when it's in China is like at 4 a.m. or whatever. So it makes it a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, it's what's interesting to me is, if you look at the change we've seen in sports media rights in the last 3 or 4 years, trying to plan out for something that's 11 years out, the whole marketplace could be totally different than what they bid on. And I just find that fascinating, how you can go that far out and be able to, you know, accurately predict what's going to happen. And will you be spending the money on something that's, you know, by that time could be passe, or it could be bigger than it's ever been.
And the money that these cities have to spend is just it's really a surprise it isn't in the U.S. more often, because you already have so many facilities here, because sports is such a big deal, the pro sports. Salt Lake City hosting the Winter Games, first time since 2002. Don't forget, L.A. will host the Summer Games in 2028. So after a couple of decades of no Olympic action, all of a sudden you get some action here. And of course,
that should be great for traffic, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Won't affect it at all. Not at all. Hey, before we close out the hour, we did want to talk about a great article we saw this week: dumbest coaching moves of the year. What do you got?
Well, I mean, I think Miami, Mario Cristobal, with his instead of taking it, he decided to run it because he didn't understand math.
Yeah, I don't know really. I don't really know how you top that one. Although I did find it funny, and I have brought up on our shows the fact that Notre Dame can't count to 11.
That's pretty bad.
I thought that was pretty awesome as well. But, you know, the Mario, it should be called the Mario Cup.
I guess the one thing is about Notre Dame, they didn't do it on one play. They did it on two plays, back to back. I mean, it's
hold
like,
my oh, beer.
Hold my beer. Watch this. We're going to go with 9 next time.
and calling a timeout in between.
Yeah.
Yeah. And still not catching it. Yeah.
Still didn't catch it. Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, no question.
Not good. Not good at math. Clearly, we need a math person on the side to count to 11.
And Notre Dame, we hear all about their academics, but seriously, I'm going to do this for you guys. 9, 10, 11.
Well, how about I know this hurts, Florida Gators having 2 number 3s on the field at the same time. That was bad.
And you know, I guess that one's really bad because that's like a team effort. Like, I mean, it takes everybody from God, do you think this is a bad idea having 2 guys at number 3 and they might play together? Ah, It'll be fine.
And you wonder, like, if the 2 guys were next to each other on the sideline going, well, I'm not going to say anything if he doesn't say anything.
It must be legal. It's the Spider-Man meme, right? They're pointing at each other.
Well, you know, that's 2, 3, 6. Yeah. I mean, come on. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It's 3 of many, and there'll be much more to come in 2024.
You're listening to the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com on the Illini Guys Radio Network. Now, let's get back to the studio.
Hour number 2 here in the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. By the way, don't forget, it's our Black Friday special. Join now, annual membership, and get a free Illini Guys sweatshirt. Listen, let me tell you something. Big hit, huge hit among the fellas and the ladies who are on Illini Guys. Super comfortable, and it instantly becomes your favorite sweatshirt. And not just because it's from us. IlliniGuys.com front page. You can click right there. Black Friday special going on for a limited time. Be sure to come on and join us and get all the inside info as soon as possible on IlliniGuys.com. Hey, it's time right now for Ked's Recruiting Roundup. Kedrick Prince, Director of Recruiting for IlliniGuys.com, is here. Ked, always good to see you. Welcome to December. What's the good word?
It's been a great week. You know, you look at it from an Illinois standpoint, they lost last week to their in-state rival, the Northwestern Wildcats, but in the world of recruiting, it never stops. You know, a lot of people, you know, think, you know, when you lose a game, you're automatically going to lose recruits, but, you know, that's not what the recruits see. The recruits see, you know, more than just wins and losses. They see potential, and Illinois got lucky this week. They were able to land a 3-star commitment from a kid named Daniel Brown, who committed, and he's a 6'1" pound from Kansas City, Missouri, the number 1 JUCO edge in class 24. This is a big gift for Illinois. He has put up big numbers at the junior college level, 17 sacks in 10 games. So this is a big get. Illinois needed that because the situation is this. We know they're going to be losing a lot. Players transfer, people going to the NFL. So this was big. And I also know Illinois is going to do a lot of work, in my opinion, in the junior college ranks. They've gotten away from that in a while, but I think they're going to go back to that.
Yeah, I think this is what you need. You need to bolster that outside linebacker and maybe whether he's a defensive end or maybe, you know, wherever you move him to, wherever you project him. But he's a guy who can rush the passer from the outside. You know, we have guys like you might lose Seth Coleman, so this would be a nice replacement for him. So I think this is what you have to do. You need guys who can come in and play right away. You have a high school class. You add in these kids who are older and ready to come in, whether it's through the portal, junior college, whatever it is. I think this makes a lot of sense for Illinois.
And the transfer portal starts on Monday, right? It opens. So, I mean, it's, you know, get ready, stay on IlliniGuys.com. Ked and Matt Stevens will have a lot of info on that, Brad, as well. I want to shift to basketball and the Tournament of Champions, always a major event going on in Central Illinois every year. A name that Kedrick, you talked about this week is Landon Collier. Tell us about him.
Landon Collier is a unique recruitment at University of Illinois. He now lives in Florida, and he attends North Tampa Christian High School, but he's originally – from Crystal Lake South High School in Illinois. Last August, he transferred high schools, and you know he went to the Kevin Brown Memorial Tournament of Champions. He's a 6'5" guard, wing combo guard, and this what's unique about him is that you know he grew up in Illinois. He's an Illinois fan. His parents are Illinois fans. You know, when I had a chance to talk to them, one of the things they mentioned was, you know, they remember the great Luther Hay and Darren Williams and Jane Augustine group. So they were able to come down for a visit Friday afternoon, but they didn't get. They were supposed to last Friday. They were supposed to try to get in to watch a game, but their schedule didn't permit that. But it's a unique recruiting situation, just because you know you think of these kids today, they may not remember the Darren D and Luther, but his dad has film and they've shown him this. And when they were on campus, they were in awe. They were really impressed with it.
Yeah. I got a chance to watch him play. He can really shoot the ball for his size. He's young, you know, he's still young. He's only 26. His teammate is a 6'10" kid who plays power forward center, Tony Bryant, who is a dynamic athlete ranked in the top 50 by a lot of publications. And so, you know, that's a really young team, but very nice. For those of you in Central Illinois, there's actually another kid. If you're a Central Illinois basketball fan, you know, you probably remember Clint Cuffell, who went to Evansville, had the big win against Creighton. His son, Brody, is a 2025 6'6 shooter, much like his dad, on that same Tampa Christian team. So there's always a throwback to these dads and kids. So,
boy, and some of us feel real old right now.
That's I know. Crazy.
Speaking of feeling old, another player that from Peoria that's Illinois has got on their radar is Dietrich Richardson. That last name, Richardson, Peoria, Illini, is very familiar, right?
Oh, most definitely. I've not had a chance to see him play. I know, Brad, I think you said you did, but I know Illinois did offer him a scholarship. And, you know, let's face it, I mean, Illinois had it rocking, you know, for a long time with that Peoria, you know, connection. And it's been a while, so it'd be kind of nice to get a kid from Peoria again to kind of keep that going. I do know he has offers from Vanderbilt. He has one from Iowa and Southern Illinois. So, you know, this could potentially be another Peoria kid and also another kid that's in the family from Illini because, like you said, DJ Richardson.
Yeah, Dietrich is a kid. He's 6'6", 6'7", very, you know, a very smooth wing, plays point for at times too, but, you know, sometimes he's not strong enough when they get those little small guys can get under him a little bit. That's kind of where he's got to make that next step, but he's got good skills. He can shoot. He's athletic. He's a kid who's going to keep getting better as he gets stronger and develops. And you know, I was talking to his AAU coach, Gavin Sullivan, and he told me that, you know, this is going to be a national recruit. He's going to get offers from all over the country, and he's already got interest there. And I think teams just want to see him make that next step in the spring, and I think he'll get even more offers.
And this kid's a 2025 current junior?
That is correct.
Okay. It's good to know. Hey, want to ask both of you and get your thoughts here, and we've got a few minutes left of the segment. You know, you've talked about that Brad Underwood and this coaching staff pretty much wrapped up 2024. They want to leave some spots open for the transfer portal, as is, you know, today's college basketball world, right? Recruiting. But I'm curious in terms of moving forward with this in class of 2025, recruiting is always evolving because of the way things go right now with the portal and with NIL. How is Illinois doing in the Illinois brand right now out there among today's you know, juniors and even sophomores? With a team that has yet to get to that second weekend, yet to break into the regional semifinals. But they're a team now that's routinely in the top 25 on national TV, and they got some guys in the NBA, et cetera. How are things going in terms of getting kids to buy into the message?
Well, from my conversation, I mean, I was down in Champaign, you know, recently. My conversation with, you know, some of the people down there, they think the Illinois staff, they feel really confident with the class of 25 and 26, you know, they were real secretive about who those names are, and who they're pursuing. But the brand, you know, Larry, that you mentioned, I think is better than what people realize, because it's an easy sell when you know you're going to have a chance to be ranked in the top 25. You're going to play a great schedule. The fan base is great. I can't tell the Illinois fans enough how well they do and what they, even in football, these recruits, they notice that. And so the coaches are able to sell the fan base, they sell the academics and the success, because regardless of what people think, wins and losses, you look right now, they're one of the best teams in the Big Ten again, and they're always going to have a good roster. So, Larry, to answer your question, Illinois has put themselves in a situation. Brad Underwood's in his sixth or seventh year, so the brand is there. The kids and recruits know who he is, and they know what they're going to get when they come to Illinois.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things from the class of 2025, 2026. You've got guys who watched Io DeSumo and Kofi Coburn and those guys, and you've seen that development piece, and they've seen some of these guys succeed. You've seen them on national television, Terrence Shannon kind of carrying that mantle. But yeah, it's been really good. The other thing that people talk about, every kid that visit talks about, is Ubbin, the new upgraded basketball facility. Mm-hmm. And not just like the place where they're shooting baskets and all that stuff. They're talking about the training room and the bariatric stuff. And the way they're able to heal quicker. I mean, just, it's insane working with Fletch. Every guy talks about the facilities there and just are like, they were blown away after they go.
That's so impressive. Very cool. Cad, you have a thought?
Brian made a comment. One of the comments he talked about was with the other complex. One of the women's basketball recruits was on campus, and she made a comment about Ubbin, that Illinois has an on-staff, full-time mental health person on staff. And according to the University of Illinois, they don't know the school in the country has that. And it's a unique situation. So not just the health part of it, the open facilities 24/7, but a lot of parents are coming away in awe, knowing the fact that, because that's a big deal in today's world, that Illinois, most schools have part-time, Illinois has somebody full-time for these kids. So I think that's a big plus.
That is huge. And I would think that pretty, like you said, I mean, unusual. Listen, mental health is, and we're thrilled for this, is finally the stigma. We're erasing the stigma of mental health and understanding how important that is. And so it's got to give Illinois an advantage, like you said, in both with men's and women's basketball to have that. Brad?
Yeah, no question. I think this is the next, you know, they've gone next level on a lot of these things in a lot of their programs for the student athlete success. I mean, one of the reasons that, you know, that makes it a place where you want to go or where parents want to send their kids is because they know they have these resources in place. And so when you're recruiting and you have these things already here, it's a huge advantage in the recruiting. You got the facilities. Now you got the extra, that little extra thing, those resources to help those kids out.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, guys, appreciate your time. Ked, we appreciate you. Leftover turkey at your house, by the way, is it all gone? It's been a week.
It's all gone. It's now time to start the diet all over again.
Okay. There you go, baby. Yeah. Strength and honor. All right, Ked Franz. Thanks. Kedrick is here with us, as always, Director of Recruiting for IlliniGuys.com, with catching this up with what's going on. All right, stay here. This is the Illini Guys, powered by IlliniGuys.com on the Illini Guys Radio Network. See ya.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. That's 800-425-1161.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
BigSportsRadio.com is a one-stop shop providing daily updates of your favorite Big Ten teams. Register today for free and get a chance to win weekly cash prizes. Details at BigSportsRadio.com.
Hello, this is Brett Bielma, the Illinois head football coach, and you're listening to Illini Guys Sports Big Tag.
Hey, guys, I was just thinking, got a question for you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
When you look at Michigan, you got the defensive coordinator going up to Ohio State fans and getting into it with them after the game. You've got the head coach who has been suspended for 2-3-game spans for the football team. You've got the basketball team head coach who slapped another coach in the past and now manages to get thrown out of a game that he's not coaching at. Is there something going on with the Michigan culture that needs to be looked at, or is this just some random events that have no connection and no effect on one another? Brad?
Man, that's tough. Here's what I would say. I would say it's more of a microcosm of society more than it is a Michigan culture. I think the culture today is to win now, no matter what. And I think that's true of a lot of places. It doesn't matter how you accomplish it. And you also have to create it. You're Michigan. You are one of the blue bloods, but yet you have to create some edge too. So you have to like make yourself that way. And I think that's part of this kind of this, the way this is.
I can't argue with that. Yeah. I mean, we're in a society right now where there's no shame. We just do things because we want to, and we, you know, later we just go, oh yeah, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to say that. So it's true. But maybe in Ann Arbor, you got to redefine the term Michigan man. It's not what it used to be. Right. So,
yeah.
Speaking of Michigan, the team that just beat Ohio State, Ryan Day, is there any more vilified coach that's lost only like 3 games in his entire career in the Big Ten? I mean, this guy, somehow he's like dead man walking. All he does is win, except the past 3 years against Michigan.
Yeah, it's tough. What program? I mean, and I guess it's my thing would be, I think if Ryan Day had won a national title, he'd have more leeway.
Yeah.
But, you know, like 11-1 is a good year. But had they beat Michigan and lost a different game, everybody would be happy. You know what I mean? I really believe that because that's how important that the game is. And so that's why it's also the most watched game in what, since 2011 or something in college football.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
Well, Ryan Day's done a good job as head coach, but the problem is he has no resume that would be equivalent to what you would expect for a guy who's hired for arguably the number 2 job in college football. And so you can't look back and say, well, he knows what to do because he was number 1 year at Florida and then they dropped and then they won another national title. Or, you know, he's done this to come back from adversity. As a head coach, his resume is so weak that you really don't know, can he come back from adversity? And that's the danger of a guy with a ton of talent, but not a lot of experience, is the fan base doesn't have anything to lay their, you know, to have credibility that he can bring them back from the wilderness.
So a lot of rumors out there with Bill Belichick struggling in New England. Does Robert Kraft make a move and kick the legend out of town and bring in Ryan Day, who is from New England?
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I think that Belichick's time has passed a little bit in the sense that, you know, and I think in his mind, he wants to prove that it wasn't Tom Brady, right? I mean, I think that's his goal. But at the same time, and I don't think it was all Tom Brady. I think Belichick's a very good football coach. I think that, but the problem is you replace Tom Brady with Mac Jones. That's not exactly that's way down, right? So I think that he just needs that, but I think it's time for him to move on if New England wants to win. And I think if he can get him to step down and retire, I think that would be a best thing for everybody.
I think if you could get him to step down, I think there would be a list of 4 or 5 NFL teams who would love to trade for the rights to Bill Belichick. And you might be able to get another draft choice for a team that desperately needs it. And then you put Ryan Day in there with his offensive capability, and maybe he can draft a quarterback to go along and build around, you know, that'll be his Brady.
You know, you speak of quarterbacks, and that's one thing I want to get in before we take a break here. Matt Rhule, coming off his first season at Nebraska, talking about, again, telling reporters that, listen, right now in the transfer portal, a good quarterback is going to cost you $1 million to $1.5 to $2 million. Did those numbers surprise you guys at all?
Well, I think it's nuts, but quarterback is the most important position in college football, so they're always going to get the most. I think that, but you're reaching a point where numbers don't go down, right? So if you're at $1 to $1.5 to $2 million for a starting quarterback right now, a legit starting quarterback, I think that, and I think that's for a proven guy. Where does it end? I mean, what's going to happen here as we start moving up? And the problem I have with this, and this is the problem with all this NIL stuff, is eventually what you're going to see is you're going to see these, they have a salary cap in the NFL. And they have a minimum salary. They don't have that in college football. You're going to see guys making $2 million and guys making zero, and it's going to create a problem.
Yeah, and I do think that in the end, you know, you're going to see like Cam Ward from Washington State, is he's going to be a Heisman Trophy candidate if he selects the right school to go to. And you know, Brad was right, but it's not just college football. It's high school football. It's peewee football. It's the NFL. If you get the right quarterback, that solves so many problems. But how do you keep peace in a locker room where kids have social media and they read about, I'm a loser because I don't have any money and this other guy's making X amount of dollars. There's going to have to be a whole new level of building team that nobody's had to deal with before.
The conversation continues after this.
When life isn't easy, you need healthcare that is. You need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. With OSF On-Call Urgent Care, we make it easy to get affordable, quick, convenient care for minor illnesses and injuries when and where you need it. Reserve an appointment online or walk in for care 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even on holidays. Virtual visits are also available 24/7, 365. Get started today or find a clinic near you at osfoncall.org. /urgent care.
Are you tired of your friends and family members being the center of attention? Always the life of the party? Always the one who knows something no one else does? Then change the game with IlliniGuys.com. Insider info on your favorite teams, analysis on the latest games, weekly chats with coaches. You take control of the room with IlliniGuys.com. Regular updates from the experts put you courtside and in the locker room. But wait, there's more. Act now and get this free Illini Guys sweatshirt. Comfortable, stylish. Tell the world, I'm an Illini guy and you're not. Don't delay. This is a limited time offer. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the Black Friday button, and you are on your way to cool guy status. Feature articles, game analysis, members-only message boards with insider info, plus the cool sweatshirt, all yours. May they never ignore you again, thanks to IlliniGuys.com. Sign up today.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you test and inject daily, you may qualify. Call US Med now to learn more.
800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. That's 800-390-5160.
You're listening to the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com on the Illini Guys Radio Network. Now, let's get back to the studio.
Okay, so the big weekend in college football, this is the one. Guys, this is why I can't wait to get to, you know, a playoff, because, like, literally nothing gets done. My wife and I were talking about, you know, we're going to maybe go to a basketball game this weekend, but we're trying to figure out how we work that around all the games, right? So big weekend. Let's start in the SEC. That's the one Saturday game, okay, the championship game on Saturday. That's the one game where both teams are still in this. You know, Alabama, only the one loss, but they have to win this. They've got to beat Georgia if they want a shot. Otherwise, they're out of it.
Yeah, it's basically a play-in game for Alabama. If we had an 18 playoff, you'd have one playing eight, and this would be the matchup right here. So I think that's interesting. I think the real interesting thing here is if Georgia wins, obviously they're in. There's no question. Alabama's out. If Alabama wins, then who makes it? I mean, this is when you really get into the nuts and bolts. You have a two-time defending national champion that loses in their conference title game, and what if there are three other undefeated teams?
Oops. Yeah. I mean, the other thing that I find really interesting is Georgia's looking at its third national title in a row. Yet when you look at what the head-to-head matchup, you have Nick Saban in the last eight games, he's won seven of them, except for that national championship in 2022. So they haven't played since then. But for the most part, Alabama has owned Georgia. Can they do it again when it really counts? Or will Kirby get that second win in a row with unbelievable high stakes and really maybe start to signal the kind of the end of the Alabama dynasty?
Yeah, Nick Saban, the GOAT of college coaches, there's no question. What a storyline it would be if he knocks out Georgia and prevents them from going for that historic three-peat. You're exactly right. Let's just listen to the coaches before they take the field in Atlanta. First, Nick Saban, and then Kirby Smart talking about this SEC matchup down in Georgia.
They've got good players at every position. Defensively, they're the number one team in the SEC. Got good players, well-coached, do a really, really good job. And they also do a great job on special teams. So they've got good specialists, and this is a team that doesn't have a whole lot of weaknesses. That's why they are who they are and what they are. And it's going to be really important for us to do, you know, a great job of executing and do what we do the best that we can do it.
They're playing as good a football as anybody in the country. And don't talk to me about playing in Auburn, because I know. So they have played really, really good football, and they've evolved from the start of the year to now. They're not the same team they were in the beginning of the year. Not many are. I mean, we had to figure out who we were and who we were identity-wise and how you're going to use guys. Then guys are out of the offense, guys are in the offense, guys are out of the defense, in the defense, and you evolve. And you know, they're a very talented, really well-coached, good football team that's playing its best football at the end of the year.
It should be – I mean, I'm excited for this game. This is probably one of those things I'm probably more excited about this one than anything. So this should be fun.
Yeah, I think the matchup of basically, you know, Kirby Smart can tell Nick Saban, you made me. And Nick's got to figure out how to deal with this creation that he's unleashed on the college football world. And the funny thing is if Nick can't kill it, it may be alive for quite some time to come, the way Georgia's recruiting and then how they're developing players.
So as Brad mentioned, Georgia's won, Alabama 8 in this week's college football playoff rankings. Number two sits Michigan, 12-0, despite having their coach suspended for half those games. Jim Harbaugh is back for the Wolverines. He'll be back on the sideline trying to go the Baker's dozen, 13-0, as they take on 16th-ranked Iowa. Here's Coach Harbaugh talking about this matchup.
My focus has been with the team, you know, the entire time. This has been a tremendous season. Right, the exact position that we hoped for, that we worked so hard to be in, and it's onward now. We've accomplished many of our goals, but not all of them yet, and some still are out there. Beating Michigan State, beating Penn State, beating Ohio State, winning the Big Ten East. You know, now the next is winning the conference championship, and that's where our focus is.
Does Jim get to go to this game? I wasn't sure. I don't know how that works. So no, sir. How about? I mean, this is your 2-16 matchup, but I'm telling you what, this is the most lopsided matchup of any of these championship games.
Yeah, yeah.
Iowa's offense is literally terrible. Like I don't know how a team can average that many points and go 10-2. I mean, it's hard to do. It's really difficult.
Playing the Big Ten West is the first thing you need to get done. But I wonder, real, and I'm not trying to be, because Iowa's defense is worthy of the most respect. But does Iowa's offense ever do they ever have a play inside Michigan's territory? I'm not certain that they're going to do it this week.
Unless there's a turnover.
There's a turnover. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Or some kind of special teams thing. That's the only way. I mean, listen, Iowa, they're a 22-point underdog in this game.
With an over-under of 35.5.
Right. So even Vegas says you can't score two touchdowns.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah, that's what they're betting. So you're not even going to do that. So, yeah, Michigan, Iowa, 8 o'clock start. That's on Fox, 8 o'clock Eastern on that game. Okay, to the Big 12. This was interesting because Oklahoma State kind of floated along. We're talking Texas, Oklahoma, both are leaving the Big 12 after this year. Look, for Texas, they're coming in number 7, another team that has to win this game to stay in the mix for a college football playoff. But guys, we've been talking all season long. We love what the Longhorns have done, and they have made a statement saying that we are ready to move past you guys and get into the SEC next year.
Yeah, I think Texas had a great year. I think it's going to be difficult for them to – beating Oklahoma State isn't going to do anything for their resume. I don't care how many they win by. I don't think anybody looks at that and says, oh, well, they beat Oklahoma State. I mean, Oklahoma State lost to Central Florida 45-3 just a couple weeks ago, which is – I mean, that's saying something, right? And so I think that this is a game that Texas has to win, and then they have to hope there's a bunch of chaos on the other ends. You know, I mean, with some teams losing, they need Florida State to lose, things like that. And they probably need, you know, Georgia has to beat Alabama. Maybe Washington beats Oregon. I don't know. But for them to sneak in, it's going to be hard.
Yeah, Texas needs pure chaos to happen, you know, and then you let the dice fall, you know, have Washington lose. And you know, Alabama win and Florida State lose. But I do think that Texas just is going to kind of they're going to run out of time or run out of runway. They need a higher ranked team to beat in this game. And unfortunately, Oklahoma State doesn't fit that bill.
Well, and they've got to root for Alabama, right? Because that's their one. Yep. That's the only card they have to play. They got to win and have Alabama win and say, oh, yeah, by the way, we're the only team to beat them, the SEC champion, and they're in the playoff. Why aren't we in? So they'll make that argument.
So what do you do there, Larry? So they beat Alabama. You got Alabama, SEC champion. They have to be in, right? Michigan goes undefeated. Florida State goes undefeated. Let's say Washington or Oregon winner. Where does Texas fit?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you?
Yeah. Where do you?
Do we change to 5 this year and just say, we're going to have a 5 play?
Exactly. You two come back next week. Well, we're going to flip a coin. Have you play either in Denver or Seattle?
And I'd watch.
The winner
would too. I would too.
I would too. We all would. Yeah, exactly.
It's sad, isn't it? You know,
we're all gluttons.
That's why the playoff is coming. Coach Steve Sarkisian talking about this matchup, his Longhorns again, just one loss and trying to close out and finish out their Big 12 run with the championship.
We also know it's a great challenge. Oklahoma State's a very good football team. Got a ton of respect for Coach Gundy and what he's been able to do this year. After kind of getting out to a 2-2 start, making kind of a philosophical change, especially offensively, to go 7-1 in their last 8 games. A very good team and making adjustments. They're a great second half team when things aren't going their way. Most notably, the last couple weeks, their ability to adapt to the game. And so we know it's going to be a 4-quarter game. We know it's going to be a heck of a challenge for us. But I think our guys are up for the challenge.
Yeah, Sark's done a fantastic job there. I mean, he's got them in position. Whether they make the playoff or not, you got to feel like Texas is back. You know what I mean? They're like back as a major player, legit top 10 team year in and year out.
Yeah, as Ace Frehley said back in the 70s, they're back in the New York groove. They are they're Texas again, finally. It's been a long time for those fans. Go back to, 2009? I mean, it seems like forever since they won a Big 12 and they mattered. So I think he's on the path. And as they go into the SEC, I think when it originally was announced, people thought Oklahoma would be the tougher FCC team, but I'm not certain anybody believes that anymore.
Yeah. Noon Eastern starts, and that one, Oklahoma State taking on number 7, Texas, for the Big 12 title. Meanwhile, the ACC, Florida State, got a scare last week without their starting quarterback. He's injured, Jordan Travis. But they still are undefeated and taking on twice beaten Louisville, the surprise team, one of the big surprises in the country, 14th in the rankings in the ACC championship. This is Mike Norvell talking about his Seminoles trying to go to 13-0 and a likely berth in the college football playoff.
You know, you want to be pushing and playing your best ball in November so that you can go into December and have these opportunities. And, to be able to go through the year, you know, undefeated, I mean, that's a great thing. But you want to make sure that you're putting your players in a position that they are building throughout the course of the year. And, you know, I mean, guys get, you know, bumps, they get bruises, you know, that you get tired. I mean, it's part of the journey, but you don't want to see that the fatigue to show up in their performance. You know, you got to be smart with them. You got to make sure you're taking care of them, but you're also building them up, you know, throughout the season. And, you know, it all points to times like this. I mean, this is what you do it for, to be able to play in a championship game, to be able to, to carry that over into all things that are beyond.
Florida State's another one that you look at, you know, without Travis, are they one of the best four teams? The committee's like hedged multiple times saying, we want the best four teams. And I don't know if they're one of the best four teams right now. So even if they beat Louisville and they're undefeated, if you're really going with that mantra, you could leave them out. But I also think they deserve it based on doing what they've done.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting to see if you have a undefeated conference champion not make it in to the preference of a one-loss conference champion. I don't know what they're going to do. That'll be a fun thing to watch.
It'll be tough, especially if you get a team like, let's say, Georgia loses. They have one loss. Alabama has one loss. Michigan, if they win, they're in. Who gets that final slot? That's pretty tough. Mike, you had a good observation in the break before we started talking about this in terms of who's most uncomfortable this weekend.
Yeah. You know, is Commissioner Phillips in the ACC going to be happy if he's got to give the trophy to the Florida State team that has figured out like 50 different ways to try to leave the ACC, or is it
Thanks, Paul Simon.
Exactly. Or is it your mark out in the Big 12 country who may have to hand it to Texas, the people who split his whole conference? Or is it Klyavikov out in Pac-12 country who's got to deal with the winner of the two of the four teams that have left? Or Tony Petitti, who has to go to Jim Harbaugh and hand off that trophy? I think I might say, hey, Jim, you know what? We're really happy that you showed up for today's game, and then hand him the trophy and just hustle off the stage.
Yeah. Let's see. I at least look at the other guys, Texas, and, you know, whether it's Oregon, Washington, whatever, in the Big 12 or Pac-12, and they don't have to deal with them in the future.
Yes.
Petitti's going to have to give this to Harbaugh. He may have to give it to him every year through Michigan's going. So this is awesome. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Tony's never been so much wanting one of the Big Ten coaches to go to the Chicago Bears.
He may be calling Kevin Warren, who's not with the Bears, going, hey,
why don't you take my guy? Take my guy Harbaugh.
Exactly.
He's a great guy.
Take my guy Harbaugh, please.
Oh, very nice. Henny Youngman, point. Youngman gets on a roll tonight. All right. We've got to pay some bills. We're back with more to this.
Fans of Big Sports Radio and Sports Spectacular Podcasts have a new home on the Chief Sports Network. Find your favorite programs and content all in one place by downloading the Chief Sports app in your mobile device. Created in South Carolina, the Chief Sports Network is the home of an expanding network of live and podcast format programming. It is also the home of one of the leading national college football podcasts, JC and Morgan, hosted by ESPN's Mike Morgan and 24/7 Sports' JC Sherbert. Download the Chief Sports app for free and find all of your favorite programming under one easy umbrella. Thanks to all of our markets for your loyal support of Big Sports Radio and our Sports Spectacular podcast, and we look forward to connecting with you anywhere in the world on the Chief Sports app.
So we got, Mike, we got baseball and free agents, the hot stove league, right? This is the fun time of the year for the Major League Baseball and their free agent. I think it goes slower now. Right now it's all been just pitchers, and we've seen some interesting things. I think the Cardinals signing Sonny Gray, 3 years, $75 million, is pretty interesting signing.
Yeah, and the interesting thing to me is you know, prior to the offseason, people talked about the Cardinals looking to go after and get three starting pitchers. And you know, when you look at the Kyle Gibson deal, and then you also factor in Lance Lynn. Now they've got those. And is that good enough to be mission accomplished? Are they good? Are they good enough as a group?
No, they're not. They need to add another one. And I think Sonny Gray is a really, he's a quality pitcher. I think the problem with Sonny Gray is like every third year, he's a number one, but then he has a couple of years where he's a three or four. And so you have to figure out, he has to have a good season for, to that to pay off. And I think the Cardinals still need a dominant starting pitcher still, and maybe they'll get the Japanese. I don't know. But now Philadelphia, they were able to sign Aaron Nola back to him. 7 years, $125 million. Pretty good deal for him.
Yeah, you know, I'm just glad that he's going to be able to make ends meet with inflation at the grocery store and the gas pump. That $172 million doesn't go as far as it used to. It may only make it to his great-great-great-grandchildren as opposed to his great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. So congratulations to Aaron. Fantastic. But it is tough, and I guess we're proving that we're old, because we look at these numbers, and as much as the player is there, it's not his fault. We are shocked by the size of these contracts.
Yeah. And you look at, the Tigers signing Kenta Maeda. This is a guy who's, career WAR is 8.6, wins above replacement, 8.6 for his career. That's pretty wild when you think about it, how much he gets signed, and they get a lot of money, and you don't even have to be very good, right? So it's crazy. Just innings eaters. The two guys Cardinals signed, you mentioned Gibson and Lynn. They get good things. All right, here's your question. Tony Cordero, with our producer, with a great question. What would Bob Gibson get if he was a free agent today after his 1968 season?
One would think with, the sub-2 ERA, one would think compared to what's out there, he might make – 60 to 80 million a year.
Yeah.
it's hard to know. And of course, the big question is, where is Shohei going to go? That's the one that everybody wants to know. And, that could be a signing that single-handedly shifts the balance of power somewhere in the league.
The weird part about him is too, they're competing for basically a DH for next year. And then he's going to be a pitcher the following year. So you're like, it's like almost want to back end his contract too. Say, we'll pay you this much to be DH, $20 million to be DH, but then we'll pay you $35 million when you're pitching and you're a DH. So
don't you think the team that gets him is going to say, you know what, we'll just pay you that for the first year. We'll pay you the combined rate.
Oh yeah.
And that'll be the determination on who wins. Who do you think is going to be the team that he'll land with?
Man, I just see him, being a guy who wants to, goes to the biggest dollars. My guess is like a Mets or somebody like that. I think he'll leave the West Coast. I really do. Unless the Dodgers put something together. I've heard a lot of Cubs talk, but I don't know. I mean, that would be great for the Cubs. But you wonder what's going to happen. And there's always a lot of money over there in the Bronx too. So we'll see.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
You're tuned in to the Sports Spectacular on the Illini Guys Radio Network.
When life isn't easy, you need healthcare that is. You need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. With OSF On-Call Urgent Care, we make it easy to get affordable, quick, convenient care for minor illnesses and injuries when and where you need it. Reserve an appointment online or walk in for care 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even on holidays. Virtual visits are also available 24/7, 365. Get started today or find a clinic near you at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about $1 a day. U.S. News & World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about $1 a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as $1 a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-613-8053. 800-613-8053. 800-613-8053. That's 800-613-8053.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-373-8414. 800-373-8414. 800-373-8414. That's 800-373-8414.
You're listening to the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com on the Illini Guys Radio Network. Now, let's get back to the studio.
Well, you know, we always close our show with our picks. And Mike, for I think the first time this entire season, you and I get dibs. Sturdy came back down to earth.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to see him in the rearview mirror, you know, chugging along behind us. Yeah, that's just, but you
most
know.
Most people are afraid of that because I could fall on them.
Well, we've been waiting all year to say that.
Lots going on this weekend. Let's get right to it. Let's start at the game that's the big game. Georgia and Alabama in the SEC championship. Who you like?
Well, I think Georgia is the best team in the country. Outside of maybe Michigan, I think Michigan has the team that can beat them. But I think Georgia's the best team. I think they're going to come out on top in this game. Although I do give Alabama a chance. I think Nick Saban is a decent coach. He's had success against Georgia, and so I think that they do have a legit chance. But I just think Georgia they're just too cohesive right now.
Yeah, and I would look, to be honest. I've been on the UGA bandwagon. I just don't see them losing to Alabama as good as Nick Saban is. I think it's going to be the Bulldogs.
Love the Bulldogs, but I'm voting chaos. I'm going with Alabama in this one. We'll see what happens.
I respect that, Larry. I respect it.
You respect the roll of the dice, baby. It's like World Series of Dice right here on the show. Thank you, Dave Chappelle fans. You got that reference. Okay, ACC, Florida State versus Louisville.
I like Florida State here. I just think their defense is good enough that they're going to able to win this game. I think Louisville kind of was exposed a little bit last week for not being quite as good as we thought they were. And so I like Florida State even without their quarterback. I think their young quarterback, showed up some things. Now the question becomes, they do have a guy, you know, the guy got hit, you know, their backup quarterback got hit last week and left the game. So it'll be interesting, but I just think Florida State is too much to play for to lose this game.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go Louisville. I think they're going to pull the big upset, and you know, again, it doesn't mean much for them, you know, other because they're not going to go to the CFP. But I think they're going to pull the big upset, and Brahm's going to look really good this weekend.
Well, okay, this is tough. I voted chaos SEC. I'm going to stick with the leader in the ACC and go with Florida State, even though, so I just contradicted myself in like 30 seconds. So there you go. to the Big 12, Texas and Oklahoma State.
I just don't think Oklahoma State's that good. So I think Texas wins this game. I think I would have much rather seen a Texas Oklahoma rematch. I think that would have been fun. I still think Texas is the best team in the Big 12. And I think they're, you know, they're probably clearly the best team in the Big 12, but you know, a Kansas State or a, you know, Oklahoma been able to sneak in there, I think that would have been better for Texas as well.
Yeah, and I think Texas is going to win this. And Brad, I agree with you. I think this one might be over by the half.
Yeah, I agree. Texas, I just think they're wired. They've had one hiccup, but they've been outstanding all season. I'm going Texas as well. To the Big Ten, Michigan and Iowa. I think I can write this down without, but I'll let you say it anyway.
Go blue. That's all I got to say.
That's it.
Go blue and just keep it going.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Iowa's going to do some incredible things. Unfortunately, they'll be on the wrong end of the score, and it may not be as incredible for Iowa fans. I see Michigan winning this one to the tune of 35-3.
Yeah, I that's probably about right. I'm going Michigan as well. Pac-12, it's the Friday night game. Maybe the best game of them all. Let's just be really honest right now. Washington beat the Ducks earlier in the season, but Oregon has played lights out since then. Two guys who should be Heisman finalists in Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. for Washington. Nix, of course, for Oregon. Final game for both these teams in the Pac-12. Who you got?
You know, I think Oregon is just playing so well right now. I know they lost Washington back on October 14th by 3 points, but every other game since then, they have just, I mean, they've won by, you know, multiple touchdowns in almost every game and just been looked dominant. I think Oregon wins this game. I think it's going to be a great game. I think there's going to be a lot of points put up, but I just think the Ducks have what it takes, and I think they get into the college football playoff.
Yeah, I think Oregon's going to win this one, but I will say the X factor is Penix at quarterback. I'm sure he's sick and tired of hearing about Jalen Daniels, and they've said that, you know, Washington hasn't played as well. If he puts together one of the fantastic games that he's capable of, this could be the masterpiece of games, but I still have to go with Oregon.
Yeah, it's tough. I voted Washington all week long, all year long. I just think they are outstanding. I agree. Huge Michael Penix fan. But I think, again, like you said, Oregon has just played so well. And it was such a close game. I mean, it came right down to, you know, to the end. The last time they played, I'm going to go with the Ducks as well and agree with you guys for once. Well, that's it. Again, enjoy the games. Make sure you get your chips and dip and your drinks all stored up ahead of time and get ready. We appreciate everybody who stopped by this week to talk. As always, for Mike and Brad, I'm Larry, and everyone here at part of the show, we appreciate you stopping by. Be sure to enjoy the games and enjoy the weekend. We'll see you next time. Same place, right here. ILL.
I-N-I.
This has been a presentation of LMBC Sports, LLC, and JM Talent Productions. We'll be back next week on the Illini Guys Radio Network on these same stations across Illinois.